Last Sunday, we heard how the crowds followed Jesus after he multiplied the bread and fish for them the previous day, and they asked him three questions, and he answered and concluded, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." In today's gospel, the crowd begins turning hostile toward Jesus and complains because he said he is the bread that came down from heaven. They know Mary and Joseph, so they do not accept that he came down from heaven. And their hostility will grow during Jesus' discourse until we hear two Sundays from now that many of the disciples who had been following him left him, except the 12 who remained faithful. And what exactly does Jesus mean by this bread of life from heaven, which is beginning to turn the crowd hostile against him? Is the bread of life all of Jesus' teaching that feeds our spiritual life? Is it in his parables, his sayings, what he teaches us through his miracles, what he teaches us through his passion, death, and resurrection? Today, he says, everyone who believes will have eternal life. So does Jesus mean he is the bread of life for us when we believe and accept him? To allow him to feed us, to be our spiritual nourishment? It's all of that, and it's so much more. So what else is it? He contrasts himself with the manna in the desert. Their ancestors ate manna in the desert and died. But Jesus is the bread from heaven, so that those of us who eat it do not die. Now he is getting very specific about the bread of life. You have to eat it. Jesus continues, "He is the living bread from heaven, and whoever eats this bread will live forever." He is now moving his sermon to speak about the Eucharist, the foreshadowing. So he contrasts that with the manna. And what he offers has to be far greater than the miraculous bread given to Elijah, far greater than the manna in the desert. The manna and what Elijah received were nothing by comparison. All their ancestors, even though they enjoyed those gifts, although they grumbled quite a lot, they died. At the end of today's gospel, he gets even more specific and says the bread that he will give for the life of the world is his very flesh. His flesh, his body. During the Last Supper, as Jesus knew he would offer himself up for us the following day on Calvary, he identified the bread with his body, his flesh. "This is my body." So we've come a long way in chapter 6 in John. Believing in Jesus is not enough. Staying at home with no mass, not enough. We need to have the Eucharist. If we do not have the Eucharist, we will be missing the spiritual life that Jesus offers us, that Jesus wants us to have. We all have a spiritual hunger, and he is the answer to that. He offers himself in the Eucharist in love. Next week we will hear that whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. It brings us intimacy with God. He remains in us and we in him. Without the Eucharist, we do not have this intimacy. Another way to say it is maybe grace. Grace and sharing in the life of God. And every sacrament gives us grace. We first receive grace in baptism, faith, hope, and charity. But in the Eucharist, we receive that grace that unites us to Jesus in love. It has been said, and I think it to be true, it can be very difficult to recognize Jesus in the sacrament of the Eucharist. There are surveys which show this in a general sense. But I think for everyone in here, me included, there have been times when my day-to-day struggles, sorrows, ecstatic joys even, prevent me from being fully present at Mass. But this is just as easily true. It can be very hard for others to recognize Christ in us, especially through our sins, particularly that of pride, by putting Jesus ahead, not putting Jesus ahead of where he should be, at the center of the universe, making ourselves the center. So let's ask ourselves, how are we approaching Jesus when we come to worship? Is this just another box to check on our daily to-do list? Is this the pinnacle of our day, as it really ought to be? do we bring all of ourselves and actively participate in worshiping the King. And let me be clear before I go into a couple of examples. This isn't calling out anyone in particular. I've been here 2 months, okay? And I'm not Padre Pio. I can't read souls. The only reason I have examples is I sat where you're sitting for a very long time, and I've been guilty of most or all of the following. Do I arrive at Mass and leave the outside world behind? Do I bring my joys and my sorrows to the Lord and for 1 hour put myself aside and allow Him to feed me through His Word and through His body and blood? Or am I clock watching? Am I thinking about the next thing in my day? Or thinking about something or someone that's upsetting me? Am I worried about something that's happening with another parishioner in the congregation? Maybe how they worship, instead of focusing on my own participation. The crowds that were listening to Jesus and turning against Him lacked faith. They couldn't recognize, they did not recognize that there was something greater than Moses, than Solomon, than Abraham, than manna. Scripture tells us that God made us to freely choose Him. We, unlike anything else in creation, have been given a will that can say no. Why would we want to do that? What exactly do we solve on our own? Well, Jesus' desire for the crowds in the gospel and for us here is to draw us to the Father by way of His humility, His sacrifice, His generosity, His love. And He wishes to do this by us receiving His very flesh and blood, a most intimate union. The humility of the divine cannot be surpassed. But for us to receive those graces that He wants to give us, we must humble ourselves. Whatever our issues, when we come to worship, Jesus must be the focus. His Word, His mercy, His flesh and blood will never disappoint. So at this Mass, for all of us, if we've been guilty of it in the past, let's not take that for granted tonight and not moving forward. Tonight, let's receive Him in the Eucharist as if it were the first time, in true faith, His greatest gift, for He is the bread of life.